So we begin. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal." We all know that there was an appointed time for Jesus to be born. The circumstances of his birth fulfilled prophecy spoken of a coming Messiah who would save and redeem God's people and restore their place in God's family. Jesus, the Son of God, walked on earth as the Son of Man. He lived his life in perfect obedience to God and was without sin. He went about his Father's work, healing, setting people free, and all the while proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. People recognized his authority and couldn't deny the miracles that he performed. Was this the promised Savior? A little under 2,000 years ago, as Jewish pilgrims gathered for the annual Passover festival, all eyes were on Jesus. If you were here last week, you would have heard Brahman speak about this as we celebrated Palm Sunday. They were buzzing since his entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt the week before. But unknown to people, there was a plot afoot that involved Jesus' betrayal by one of his close friends. Falsely accused, he was subjected to trial that would lead to his conviction and ultimately his death. All had been foretold, but was only revealed at the appointed time. Scotty, could you just put that second slide up, please, the dark one? In 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 21, reading from the New Living Translation, it says these words, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Is that good news? Instead of defending his innocence and using heavenly resources that were available to him to demonstrate his kingly authority, Jesus willingly laid down his life, died a brutal death as a criminal on a Roman cross. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, says this. This is the night before he was betrayed. It says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father." Listen to this. This is awesome. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." That thought just stuck out to me this week as I was preparing. He loved them to the end. Verse 2. "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.'" After this, Jesus spoke of servant leadership, demonstrating this action of washing his disciples' feet was what a servant would do. But knowing, I want you to just think about this, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, Jesus didn't exclude him from Number one, the lesson, and number two, his feet being washed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Do you want to just have a little thought up on the next slide, I think, Scotty? Just want you to think for a minute. Just want you to think for a minute. Are there times you haven't understood what God is doing? Probably none of you. Just maybe it's just me. Are there times you haven't understood what God's doing? You might be thinking of one right now. Consider that Jesus will love you to the end. And how does that feel to know that his love for you is eternal and relentless? Just think of that for a minute. You've probably already gone on to the next one, haven't you? The next thought. Is there someone you need to extend forgiveness to that has hurt or betrayed you? Spend a moment right now to ask God who you need to forgive. We're going to be taking communion in a moment. This is a good practice to do. Is there someone you need to extend forgiveness to that has hurt or betrayed you? Spend a moment to ask God who you need to forgive.
Hello. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
Woo! That's good, hey?
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Deepak. Thank you very much.
We're going to take communion now. Thanks, everyone. We're going to take communion now, and I just want to, I don't know if there's any way we're going to organize this. Is there, honey? Okay, thank you. I want you to remember as you take it, come and get some bread, come and get a cup. There's even olive oil and dakka, if you would like. Jesus is lavish, isn't he, in his love. He's generous, he's kind. But as we come around the table, remember that the bread we take speaks of his body, which was broken for us so that we could be reconciled with God and we could become part of his body. The blood that he shed was not just about the forgiveness of sins, but it spoke of a new covenant, new promises, ones that weren't involved in keeping rules, but one in keeping relationship with God. Speaks of a covenant of grace, a covenant of power. Jesus truly is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is for you and for many, for those you know who don't know his love yet. And as we take this, remember that his love extends to everyone, that no one is unworthy of his love. So perhaps we could just invite Well, you can all come. All are welcome at his table. Every single one of you. All right, yeah, so if we could just sort of come this way and move that way. And then as you go back to your place, if you could just sit and pray with each other. We're going to put a song on. So on your marks, get set. Nam mai hare mai. Welcome.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. If I go and come and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Thank you, Lord. Do not let your heart be troubled. In my house are many rooms, many mansions, some translations say. This is a dwelling place for all. Father, we just pray. Every sense of anxiety will go in your presence. Just a funny little prayer. I know it's Easter, but does anyone need a house? Is anyone looking for accommodation? 1, 2. Okay, thank you. 3. Okay, I thought there might be a few. So, Lord, we do. We just pray. Not only for the heavenly conclusion, but for an earthly solution for these ones who need accommodation. Father, we pray you would open up to them supernaturally houses, flats, whatever they require, and that it will be an upgrade from what they've presently known. So we release your favor and your goodness over each of these ones. In Jesus' name, everyone agrees and says, Amen. Amen. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks, Jacqueline. Yeah, please be seated.
John 14:15-21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thanks, Jacqueline. I just want to, us to consider something right now. If I could pop that thought up there, Scotty. Thanks, bro. I think I've got one. I had a thought once. What's that? Did I lose that one? Okay, here's a thought for you all. It's not on the screen, but here we go. Jesus loves you. Even when you feel alone, when you feel orphaned or abandoned. Has anyone felt like that? Yeah. Jesus loves you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He loves you through all of those things. So I just ask that maybe You might want to close your eyes right now and just invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. You may have never had that experience before, but Holy Spirit, we do. We invite you. Would you come into our lives? Will you come as Jesus is in the Father? Father in Him. Jesus is in me. Holy Spirit, would you just baptize us again?
John 16:22-24. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God.
Wow.
We're going to teach you a new song because it's Easter. According to Scripture, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, just had been promised by the prophets. His triumph over sin and the grave makes way for all humanity to live free from both the power and the penalty of sin. Both then and now, all who believe on Jesus' name and who turn to God with yielded lives receive the promise of eternal and abundant life.
John 20:1-18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
John 20:19-29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Cindy, can I invite you up? We're just about finished our time together. But one of the things I know that great that God wants to release to us this morning, among other things, is a fresh touch of His Holy Spirit. We can rush around at times and sometimes, as our welcome team knew this morning, I was just rushing to get somewhere and I stopped. And they just told me, "Breathe." And sometimes that's all it takes, is to stop, to breathe, to receive again the breath of Holy Spirit in your lungs. To receive again His peace that passes understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in the knowledge of His love. To receive His grace. The other thing too, I just believe that God wants to release this morning is the blessing of God for those who have not seen. Many of us probably started out with doubts in our walk with Jesus, but there's something of discovery that He invites us into. He invites us into an experience of what it is to touch His wounds, which have been healed, and provide healing for us. Even as we took communion today, I just pray that you'll go out healthier. You'll be sent forth with peace and joy and love as witnesses of His goodness in your life. We're going to finish with a song, and then Beth's going to close with the scripture.
Grace to breathe, let it wash over me. Close to me, closer than I believe.
Stand.
Grace to than I believe.
grace. Grace to breathe, let it wash over me. Close to me, close to me, closer than I believe. Now, now, te aroa.
Now, te aroa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You promised that you would never leave us alone. Lord, that you'd send the comforter to us, the one who would uphold us and lead us and guide us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is alive and living. Lord, we pray like Paul prayed that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know you better, that we would understand what is the hope of our calling in you, Christ Jesus, that we'd understand the inheritance that this Jesus has in the saints, and that we would comprehend the exceeding great power that is towards us who believe. So as we celebrate this day, and as we go forth in grace and peace, Apostle Paul prayed, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Just extend your hands out towards one another, out towards Him. Repeat after me as you pray for every single soul here and the children upstairs. Now may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We would love to pray for anyone who is unwell, who's not at peace, whether it be in your hinanaro, which is your psychological well-being, your mental well-being, whether it's in your tinana, your body. We would love to pray the hope of God into you. Otherwise, bless one another, celebrate with one another the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ. Happy Easter.